Welcome to the Fly to the Next podcast. I am Holly here in the Manawatu. We have Danny Avis in on Gadigal Land in Sydney and Alex in Te Whanganui Atara, Wellington. Hey guys, how you doing? So we'll start with the men.
Yeah, good.
We'll start with the men. They played Melbourne City and lost 1-0 to a goal by their defender, Suprayan. We started with, let's see, Paulson, Kelly Hill, Wharton, Sermon, Payne, Old, Rufus, Salas, Crave, Barbarousis, and Ball. I think that we did have some decent chances in this game, but I'm kind of not that surprised that we lost. It is Melbourne City away.
We have a really poor record at Amy Park and against Melbourne City. And although they've not been in form previously, it looks like we may have played them into form, considering their results since then. The game itself, I'm actually thinking back to it and I can't remember that much of it. It was just one of those games where not much seemed to happen, particularly from us. We just didn't get going. We had few chances, whether that's because they managed to close us down and stop us playing, or whether we just weren't on our game, I'm not sure. But yeah, it was really a bit of a meh game, and we lost. We weren't very good. There was not huge amount of bright spots. We weren't terrible, but we didn't create many chances. I thought Kraev was really quiet, apart from an absolutely wonderful pass to Barbarousis for our one big chance. Other than that, I didn't remember him being touched. David Ball was constantly being fouled. I don't know, again, whether that was a tactic from Melbourne City to stop our attacks before they even get going, because David Ball is often the one that gets it from defence and brings it forward, and they were constantly chopping him down and jumping all over him. If it was a tactic, then it seemed to have worked. And even Ben Old never really seemed to get the ball and get into space and get forward much. So we didn't really create anything. We didn't play particularly well. Their goal was probably a mistake on our behalf. You could blame Kelly Heald or Poulsen for their positioning or awareness, I guess, but they had a lot more chances than we did. We had maybe the one good chance, which was Barbarousis, which, this season you'd expect him to put away. Last season you'd be like, yeah, he probably needs a couple of those, put a goal in. So yeah, I think we probably regressed to the mean a little bit in terms of we've been overperforming so much in terms of our XG and the number of chances we have, the number of goals we get, that's the number of chances we're having. And this is probably just going back down to what we really should expect with the amount of play we had. So disappointing game, to be honest, and we definitely need to improve if you want to, keep going. But not worth panicking about just yet, I don't think.
Yep, all good points you made. I was a bit surprised that we lined up in a back four. Typically Chiefy likes to play in a back five away from home, and especially against teams that he, or I guess he only really uses a back four against teams that he really thinks we can beat, which makes it even more surprising that we lost and that we didn't really play very well. We found it struggle to kind of break out of our own half. I don't think Houston Salas had the best game again. It's just more of that getting gelled with the rest of the team. And yeah, you mentioned the goal, Lucas Kelly-Heald kind of missing the header, and then also Alex Paulson coming for the ball, going for the punch kind of and not getting it. I think that's a bit disappointing. And there was another kind of similar moment where he came for it and didn't get it. I think all around it just wasn't our best performance. Hopefully we can pick it back up next week, I guess, or Saturday against Sydney.
I think, yeah, I mean, there were some quite interesting moments. I mean, our best chance of the game was the Costa 1v1, which he put just wide, which was, I mean, you can't get all of those right, but it was a pity because we could have potentially got a draw if we'd put that in. Big moment of the game was the ball that was about to go over into the net, and Finn Sermon just like smashed it into the air. That was a really good goal line save. Beautiful, beautiful goal line save. So we did have some big moments there. But yeah, we just didn't quite fire. The Wellington Phoenix supporters group that's in Melbourne. Shout out to those guys. They will show up again. They have a new banner that's got Chiefy holding a scarf in it. Awesome banner. Awesome lot of people. They make heaps of noise. So shout out to them. As always, but yeah, I'm looking forward from that one. So we have Sydney FC coming up next at Eden Park. So that's Saturday. And we haven't lost at Eden Park for a really long time. And Sydney FC is a good opposition, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. Any thoughts on how might that might go? I'm hoping we can get like a 1-0 win.
It's going to be a tricky one. Sydney are very, very much in form. Some of the results have been getting draws, but they're actually really good. It will be interesting to see what we do. One thing, Alex mentioned, that we went for back four against Melbourne, and our midfield was actually very attacking as well. They were basically old Rufa and Salas, if you like, maybe David Ball as well. Didn't have Pennington or Altai. That's quite unusual for us not to have at least two defensive midfielders. It clearly didn't work very well because we didn't create that many chances going forward. So whether Chiefy will stick with that or whether he's going to bring, now Pennington came on, so he's Pennington fit again, or he can bring Altai, who I thought had been playing quite well in previous games. I think Sydney being the form he is, I think we need to be a little bit careful. We can't go gung-ho, we can't just go attacking. But it's going to be very interesting to see if he deals with Sydney's press, which is a lot of the papers and the media have been talking about, the old Leipzig press, I think they're calling it, because Drillich used to work there. Very close press, which did for us last time over here in Sydney, and they completely did for us 3-1, and we weren't able to play through it. Whether we'll try and play through that press again, or whether we'll see Paulson kicking it longer, in which case, I don't know who kicks it to, but maybe we'll be doing that. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know how this is going to go, to be honest. I'm really not sure. I'll be optimistic and say, yeah, I hope we'll sneak a win. But it wouldn't be surprising if Sydney managed to do this again.
I'll go with the safe bet and say we won't lose. We've never lost to Eden Park before. We've had much, much worse sides and much worse form go to Eden Park against much better teams and not lose. So I think it'll be a good game. The Phoenix have been advertising it very well. They've also been pushing the Auckland-Wellington rivalry. So hopefully it's kind of a good, I don't know if I want to call it a bench warmer for the Auckland team, but it'll be good to kind of just see the audience for it, I guess. And if this is a good game, I think the Auckland team will get much better crowds to start with.
It's going to be one of the highest attended matches of the season, Domi said.
Just sort of question, sort of thought question. Should the Phoenix be using this game to help promote the new Auckland side?
I don't think they are.
The Auckland side, is that going to be good for the Phoenix or not? Question both ways. I think they probably are going to be good for us in the long run. They're certainly going to be good for football in New Zealand. But is it up to the Phoenix to help promote them? Should we be using our last home game in Auckland to promote them?
No, I don't think
Not sure. It's an interesting thing. I don't think they will.
Club isn't doing that. The club is building its own base. I don't see that as the Knicks wanting to build football in Auckland. I think it's the Knicks trying to grab as many people as they can at the moment this season to become, even if not primarily Knicks fans, at least partially Knicks fans. I think it's a let's have one final game on their turf and get a good crowd out. I don't see that as us trying to build for the Auckland club at all.
Yeah, I think advertising for the Auckland club would be a bad move, but advertising for the rivalry, I think that's what we will see and what we have seen from the Phoenix recently. The rivalry, it'll be massive for the Phoenix. The distance derby just doesn't really mean anything. When you hear distance derby, you don't think flares and tempers and stuff like that. You just think a game that has no away fans, really. The rivalry against Auckland will be great. It'll be great for football in New Zealand. It'll be great for crowds. That Waitangi Day thing that's been mentioned before, having an annual a derby on Waitangi Day. I think that sounds great. If we can make that work, it would be awesome. But yeah, I do agree with you, Holly, the kind of just grabbing as many fans from Auckland as we can. You know, we've got a lot of fans from Auckland. I think we'll lose a few fans once the Auckland team comes into play. I already know a few Phoenix fans that are switching allegiances. And yeah, I think it's just great for football in New Zealand. And even if the Phoenix do decide to promote the new Auckland team, I think it'll be fine because it'll all come back really in the end.
So the new Auckland team was launched today. It does have a name now, which is not the Volcanoes. I'm pretty sure it's actually Jaffa FC, but something about Auckland FC, which is not very imaginative in my mind. They have released their home kit, which is a very generic looking blue and black, and possibly the most boring football club badge that you can think of. So terrible, just terrible. All of it's terrible. What a terrible club. Shit club, no fans. No. What did you guys think? Obviously, badge design and name and kit design does have a lot about the image of the team. So what do you guys honestly think about it all?
I think it was all very safe. They took the safe option in everything, in the name, in the badge, and in the kit. So they could have gone on for a funky name. They could have gone for Volcanoes. They could have gone for Black Knights. And they didn't. They went for Auckland FC, you know, as simple as you could possibly do. I don't think that's a bad idea. I think that's probably a good idea. And then try and build another name organically. But, yeah, it would have been fun for them to come out with something like the Vulcans or the Volcanoes or something. I mean, the Phoenix came out with the Phoenix, which everyone thought was an absolutely ridiculous name when they started, but somehow has become accepted, and I think we all quite like it. The badge, yeah, it's just a badge, right? Not even particularly great, but, you know, anyone can do it. And the kit, I mean, black and blue stripes can look really classy. I mean, we all think of Inter initially. Somehow that shirt they've shown just looks really boring. I don't know why, because actually I don't mind. The colour scheme, the black and blue, I think can look very nice, can look really good. But that it's a shirt they've got off a website somewhere. So it's all very safe, which, again, probably not a bad idea to come out with gimmicks and weird and crazy things from the outset, because people will laugh and make fun of them. And if they want to be a serious football club, they're stuck with sort of tried and true. So it's up to them now to build a brand sort of on top of that, I guess.
Yeah, I think they could have put a bit more effort into developing the badge, to be honest. I don't think it symbolises a modern club at all. Modern clubs are kind of leaning more into the circular badge, circular logo thing, and this just looks like it's 20 years old, the badge. I don't know what the thinking is behind that, really. The kit, at first glances, it looks pretty bad, but it's kind of grown on me, to be honest. There's this image of the kit with like a Whittaker's logo on the front, which I think looks really nice with the gold lettering. If they can get a gold sponsor or a sponsor that looks nice on the front of it, I think it could be quite a good kit.
Isn't Whittaker's a Wellington brand? They're from Porirua, aren't they? We should get Whittaker's.
Yep, they are.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. Like I said, I did see that mock-up. If they did have a gold badge, or even white, so logo, that might work out. And look, they've got the blue and black colours are decent, and they can play around with those over the years. So I think calling them safe is probably maybe one of the best words, polite words, well, not polite, the most neutral, apt word for it. So you'll see where that goes. But yeah, they could have perhaps been a little bit more imaginative. Any other thoughts on the Auckland team now that they've launched their name and kit and badge?
It's I think we're in sort of a difficult, well, I find myself in a difficult position in that I actually want them to be successful, because if they're a joke and they fall apart, that reflects really badly on football in New Zealand. It reflects really badly on the A-Leagues, and eventually they're going to come back and bite the Phoenix. So I want them to be successful, but of course I don't want them to be too successful, because I'd never want them to finish above the Phoenix or do better than the Phoenix. So we're in a sort of a tricky position. I want them to be set up and I want them to do well to an extent, You know, I want them to survive. I want them to be, you know, sustainable. So they're always there. I just want them always to lose to us and finish below us. But, you know, it's just a hard, bit of a hard balance to do.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the players list that's been circulating. So they've signed 9 players, according to NZ Herald, I think it was. So Michael Vowd, a goalkeeper, played for the All Whites before, hasn't been too impressive. De Vries, he's kind of plays down the left side and maybe a bit of centre back as well. He's also played for the All Whites, currently playing for Eastern Suburbs, I think. That's Francis De Vries, not Ryan De Vries, who plays for Auckland City, I think. So Cam Howison, another signing that has been completed supposedly. To be honest, I'd expect him to be captain. I think he's got a really great insight into the Auckland football scene already. He's done that youth coaching stuff. He's played for Auckland City for however long. I think he would have signed for the Phoenix before, and I think he's been offered contracts before. But due to family reasons, he has to stay in Auckland. So I think that's a really great signing for them. It was kind of obvious. It would be the first person I'd go for if I was starting at Auckland club as well. Toomey, he has represented New Zealand at age level. Don't know much about him. Jesse Randall, another striker, represented New Zealand at under 20s and under 23s, I think. Was going to sign for the Phoenix. There was a few rumours with him in the Phoenix in pre-season, but it didn't work out. Dan Hall, no idea who that is. Does he play for the Mariners? I don't know. He plays in some other A-League club.
Yeah, he plays for the Mariners.
Yeah. Don't know much about him. And then Jake Brimmer plays for Melbourne Victory. Is he the captain? I'm not sure. I need to improve my knowledge on other A-League clubs.
I'm not sure if captain, but didn't he got the Johnny Warren medal last season or the season before? So he's a serious catcher for them.
Yeah,
that's a good player to have for them.
Yeah.
And have they officially announced people like Rojas or Tommy Smith, who we are all assuming will go there?
Yeah, so the other two are Joey Champness and Callan Elliott. Callan Elliott having played for the Phoenix before, currently in Scotland, I think, with Motherwell. He's a good right back. He'd also be high on the list for me. And Joey Champness, he's kind of got skills that no other Kiwi player does, but he struggles to put the final rep on it, really. Close to signing, Marco Rojas, Elijah Just, and Michael Boxall. Obviously, some great players. Elijah Just, I would have picked him to stay in Europe, to be honest, and not join Auckland. I don't think it's the best move for him.
I think he's just moved to another club, or did it, or a rumour that he was moving to, like, upper division as well, maybe even country, up to the Danish top division.
I can't verify any of this, by the way. It's just a list I got off Twitter. Yeah. But the already signed stuff, I think that's all true. That's verified by NZ Herald.
It seems like they've got, I mean, they've picked sort of the obvious ones from the New Zealand domestic scene, the ones who could step up, the ones who've probably been on the fringes of the Phoenix team, who may have even got a Phoenix contract if we hadn't gone right down the academy route, or as with Cam Howison, you know, didn't particularly want to move to Wellington or weren't able to move to Wellington. So I think that most of those names there are like, yep, if you want to fill a squad full of, you know, good New Zealand footballers, those are the ones that are already, you know, on the market, and they're on, you know, on the ground. It will be interesting to see if they can persuade any other bigger names to come back from overseas. Michael Boxall will be one. Tui Loma might be another. Rojas, yeah, possibly. Tommy Smith, unless he particularly likes it over in MacArthur. These are all sort of good ones to put in. I mean, probably not for the long haul, but, you know, to get him established for the first season, maybe first two seasons, you'd think so. And then obviously they've got the visa players, and how that will work out, we don't know. I guess that depends on how good their recruitment is. Hopefully none of the Phoenix's visa players will move north.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll move on to the women, shall we? Yeah. So playing Perth Glory, it was a 3-1 win away from home in Perth. Game kicked off at midnight New Zealand time, so I think it's quite unusual that we got a win there. We don't usually win in Perth, men or women. Go through the lineup: Foster in goal, and then a back line of Rebecca Lake, Mickey Foster, Mackenzie Vary, and Tiana Yeba. I think it was quite late I wasn't paying the best attention, I'll be honest. Then midfield of Hope Breslin, Alyssa Winham, and Daisy Brazendale. And then front three of Speckmeyer, Cox, and Robertson. So any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, look, it was such a great game to watch if you could stay awake. It was less late here. But after the last game that we had where we were just woeful and it made you, you know, question why you were watching this team, they really came back and answered all the questions we wanted to in terms of, you know, the commitment and could they perform overseas, over in Australia? Can they go through the midfield without all the midfielders that seem to lose to injury? And they answered all those questions. They were excellent. It was the best performance we've had for an awful long time. We'd started to go back even to some of the small ball passing out of the press around the Perth players, which just shows a lot of confidence in both the players in themselves, but also in their teammates when they're, you know, giving them a ball in a difficult position and being confident their teammate will be able to get out of it. Alyssa Winham had probably her best game in a Phoenix shirt wherever. She had a lot of time and just put some beautiful ball through. She stood up well. She was quite strong in the tackle. Scored one goal, almost by mistake, and set up another goal, which will go down, I think, probably the best team Phoenix goal this season, coming right out of defence for Mickey Robertson to score. And then Maisie Fraser came on late on and did what Maisie Fraser does with a long-distance shot. Look, Perth weren't very good. We sort of knew that, but they still got Grace Jarley up front. They're still not idiots. And we had to be, you know, playing well to beat them. And we did, and it was really good to see. It was excellent to watch, and you could see how much it meant to a lot of the players as well. Some of whom haven't been in the squad, in playing squad as much, like Alyssa Winham and Mickey Robertson. But they all did very well. All did for themselves. So yeah, it was a really good watch. I really enjoyed seeing it.
Yeah, so a big talking point from the game is Rebecca Lake coming off quite early with an ankle sprain, I think. I think she's just rolled it, and then she's posted on Instagram that she's going to be out for 6 weeks, which takes us through the rest of the season without her, which is really disappointing to see, you know, another injury. Our defence is looking quite shaky now. And then Em Main came on in kind of fullback or wingback kind of role, which is a bit strange. I think it kind of shows the lack of trust that Paul Temple has in Hayley Davidson, who was also benched for this game. Because Hayley Davidson would be the player you'd pick to come off the bench to replace a centre-back and then maybe drop Yabo or Barry Hoover was playing fullback before into centre-back. But who do we replace Rebecca Lake with? That's the big question, because in terms of centre-backs, we've got Mackenzie Barry, maybe Tiana Yeba, who I haven't been too impressed with. I guess Kate Taylor is the other one. Do we kind of bring Kate Taylor back into centre-back? She's injured at the moment, but once she gets back, is that something we could explore?
I think we're going to have to. We don't really have a choice. I mean, as you say, it's Mackenzie Barry, she can't do everything by herself. She tries, and she's pretty close to doing it, but she can't always do everything by herself. And then, yeah, it's got to be Yeba, and I think he'll probably put Yeba in. Yeah, Kate Taylor could go back and bring back the band from season one. I actually think when Rebecca Lake went off and Michaela Foster actually dropped back, I thought we actually looked a bit better then, to be honest. Not without Lake, but with Foster playing more in defensively. I think she's probably better suited there than too far forward. You're right, Davidson just hasn't been on form that well. So I don't know, I guess we would probably play Barry and Yeba in central defence, maybe Foster left back, and Foma Meekin at right back, possibly, if she's fit. Midfield, it's a difficult one. This game we had Brazendale playing in midfield, and also Breslin, I thought, did quite well when she dropped in midfield second half. She seemed to be getting in and about her, unfortunately, quite well. But we need a bit of strength there to enable Winham, to give the ball to Winham, to allow her to push the attack forward. So we're down to our bare bones, to be honest, in the squad in terms of defensively. So it's we'll just play whoever we've got.
Yep. I guess we'll go through the goals. So first goal, Alyssa Winham with a header in the 6-yard box. I'm not sure who put in the cross. I'm not even sure if you can call it a header. It's just kind of, she got a touch on it. Any touch will do. Goal's a goal, really. I don't think she's been the best with her head. It's good that she got it in, really.
It was quite a good goal. It went from, I get them mixed up, Speckmire or Cox going forward, and they had Speckmire or Cox on the right-hand side. I think it was Cox going down the right side, and Wynnum on the left-hand side, and they could have given it to Wynnum and probably should have given it to Wynnum to go through and shoot, but they gave it down to Cox on the right side, took it to the line, and then looped a big loopy cross over the top of the keeper, which dropped on the line. And yeah, to be generous, Lissa Wynnum powered a header into the goal. To be less generous, it bounced off her head and then her knee and her foot and then went into the goal. And she looked as surprised as anyone when it went in. But the actual build up to it was really nice. And yeah, good for Wynnum that she got a goal.
Yep. Thought the keeper could have done a bit better there, maybe. You know, back posts, you do kind of expect keepers to take that. Second goal, it was a Hannah Lowry, I think, cross into the box from a set piece. I think it goes off Foster, does it? Yeah, it goes off Mickey Foster. Is that right? Yeah.
I think it went off Foster.
Yep. And then into the back of the net, another set piece goal. You know, where do you think we go with these set pieces? We've conceded a few from corners now, and then another from a free kick. It's just kind of amateur defending, and we're not getting any better.
I mean, when a ball comes into a box, really, it's a goalkeeper to organise his their defenders where they should be. So I'm going to perhaps harshly put the finger on Riley Foster here. She should be the one organising her defenders and telling them when they should be going for a ball and when they should be leaving a ball for her to come and get. And I think she'd be disappointing in that in the last few games because we have had too many balls come over, seemingly beat Foster, whether that's with a header from one of our players at the near post or not, and then gets us into trouble when it goes over the keeper and someone puts it in. So you'd think, you're sure they're working out on the training pitch a lot because, you know, they see the same thing we see. So, you know, hopefully they can get that sorted out.
Yep. Okay. So second goal, it was a bit of a counter-attack. Cox gets the ball on the right-hand side after a ball from the defence, and then she flicks a ball to Alyssa, who's got heaps of space and just drives at the Glory defence and isn't really pressed. I would expect her to be put under a bit more pressure in the future, especially since she's so talented and on the ball, she can do whatever she wants, really. The ball to Michaela Robertson was just perfect, and the run from Michaela Robertson across the back line, it was just perfect, and even the finish, it's just, yeah, I think, like you said before, the best goal, the best team goal at least that we've scored this season.
Yeah, it was a thing of beauty. It was just so nice to watch. As I say, we won it in defence. It came out to Cox, so I thought, got more involved in this game than she has been in a lot of them. I'm a bit critical about Cox in terms of not getting herself in and amongst it if she's not being given the ball. Sometimes if she's playing out wide, she tends to hang out there and wait for the ball to come to her. I think she's better because she's a great player. She's much better when she goes looking for the ball if she has to. She was obviously just on the defensive side here. She gets the ball sort of fairly wide. She can see Wynnum in a lot of space, and she held off the pass for quite a while to allow Wynnum to get even further forward before putting a long crossfield ball right at the feet of Wynnum, who then, you know, could run to the edge of the area, and then that perfectly weighted ball take it beyond the defender, and Mickey Robertson was just there, just tapped it on the keeper. It was just so nice to watch. Proper football goal.
Yep. And then final goal, another thing of beauty, Macy Fraser off the bench. Gets a ball on the edge of the area, and then across the goal, it's just a perfect strike again. I think I've used perfect a few times. It's just straight. It's really satisfying to see a goal like that. Like no curve, no dip, just straight power. And I don't even think it dips before it gets into the goal. It's still rising. No keeper's going to save that. I would have thought she would be pressed as well a bit more, given that she has scored a few goals like that previously this season. I think that's her third or maybe her second. But yeah, great goal. Great to see her come off the bench. Would have been a bit disappointing for her to get benched. And her and Alyssa, they're both really confidence players. Like once they start playing well, they play well for longer. And if they're not playing well, they'll get into a bit of a slump. And to have two players like that firing in the same game, it bodes really well for our future chances.
Yeah, it was good. And she'll be really happy with that goal, not just because it was a great goal, but as you say, she was put on the bench, and with Wynnum having such a good game, you know, you'd probably see, if I was thinking her, I'd be thinking, I'm not going to get back into this team unless Wynnum keeps playing like this. And I think most people would say playing Wynnum and Fraser together might be a bit optimistic in terms of attacking-wise. So to come out and just, you know, blast that past a keeper is, that'll be really good for her. She didn't get pressed very much on it, but as I said, they weren't particularly good. On another day, yep, they may well close her down a bit. But, the fact that she has that ability means, you know, if they have to put two players on her, that's going to open up space somewhere else. So, you know, that's all good for the Phoenix. So it'll be interesting to see what Temple does in that next match, who he picks. Does he pick Wynnum and Fraser? Or did he pick one or the other? I don't see how he can drop Wynnum, but Fraser's making a good case to start as well.
Great. So we'll move on to the next game. It is against Sydney FC, 4 p.m. New Zealand time at Porirua Park. We've been really impressive at home. Hopefully another win. Sydney, they're right and high, pretty much. They've only lost one game all season. They're coming off a 3-1 win to Western and a 2-0 win to the Western Sydney Wanderers. You would pick them to kind of be favourites despite our home form and our previous game. But you know, we can hope. Hopefully it'll be a great crowd. I'm not sure what the weather's like yet.
Yeah, it'll be a very tough game. Obviously Sydney are a very good team. We've lost Rebecca Lake, but I don't know how far Taylor and Longo are from coming back. I think they've got to be pretty close to back. So apart from that, we should have a reasonably good squad. And they'll be brimming with confidence. You know, they'll be, you know, Wynnum and Fraser will be thinking, you know, we can score from anywhere. Cox and Speckmeyer, I think, play very well together. We get them both on the same pitch. They'll score goals. It's just if our fairly patched up defence can keep enough out of the other end. So, you know, look, I'm optimistic. I think we can get a result here. Again, this is a good crowd. That'll be great.
Yeah. So the weather is 18 degrees. For that, it kind of peaks just as the match starts, which is good. Hopefully that should bring some players, some fans. Porirua Park, if there's a lot of people in it, it kind of just echoes and it sounds really loud, especially if Yellow Fever's on form. There's no men's game in Wellington. The men's game is in Auckland, so hopefully maybe a few men's fans will come to this game. And sometimes it's a bit much to commit to two games in one weekend. But Sydney with some really talented players, Courtney Vine, especially in the attack, you'd think she is going to be dangerous. Any other comments?
Yeah, no, but I guess, you know, if I was in Wellington and I couldn't afford to go up to Auckland to see the men, then, you know, why wouldn't you go out to Porirua to see the women? You know, why have a weekend without football when you can? The overseas fans like myself and Holly, based here in Sydney, you know, we don't get to see football, live football that often, you know, as much as we'd like to. So, you know, I envy the people that have an opportunity to go see the Phoenix, you know, every week pretty much. So, yeah, I'd be there if I could.
Great. So I think that wraps things up. Sunday, 4 p.m, Porirua Park. Be there for the women against Sydney FC if you're in Auckland. The men are also playing Sydney FC, not sure what time that is, probably a similar time to the women. Be there, they should both hopefully be great crowds, especially the men in Auckland. Get behind the Wellington Phoenix before the Auckland team comes in. Just up the Knicks, really. Okay.
Come on, the Knicks.
Thank you for listening. We'll have another pod out next week reviewing those games. And see ya.
See you guys. Bye.